To the physicians at Mission Hospital, part of St. Joseph Health System, even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's time now for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Urinary incontinence is a common problem that can present embarrassing symptoms that affect your daily activity. My guest is Dr. Patricia Wallace. She's fellowship trained in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery at Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wallace. Tell us about urinary incontinence. It's something that women especially do not want to discuss. I understand that men suffer from it too, but it is certainly embarrassing. Women don't want to discuss it, and it can affect everything that you do every day.
That is true. In fact, urinary incontinence is a very common problem, and there are several different types of incontinence, certainly stress incontinence being the type where one is having an activity-related involuntary loss of urine, and then typically what women would describe as overactive bladder or urgency incontinence, using the bathroom too frequently, having a strong urge to go to the bathroom, and leakage of urine associated with the urge prior to getting to the bathroom. Women describe it as, I put my key in the door and I can't make it, I pull my car into the garage and I can't make it to the bathroom. That is overactive bladder and urge incontinence.
So this happens and we hesitate, but then we come to see you. What is your first line of defense for this?
Well, certainly taking a good history and trying to distinguish which type of urinary leakage and bladder symptoms are bothering my patients. One could mark on my form that when they do jumping jacks, they leak urine, but actually they're most bothered by the fact that they get up four times at night or that they have a strong urge to go to the bathroom and they cannot make it to the toilet. So it's important to help them define their goals initially. When you look at the frequency of overactive bladder and urge incontinence, it is more common than asthma, more common than diabetes, osteoporosis, and Alzheimer's in the United States. So there are more adult diapers being sold than there are infant diapers, and it is a big problem. The basic evaluation is typically a pelvic exam, making sure someone does not have a bladder infection, making sure that they're not holding on to extra urine in their bladder, or at least defining what they hold in their bladder. And then typically I'll have someone do a 24-hour urinary diary of what they drink, how much they go, and how much urine they're producing before we move on to other possible testing.
So after you've done some tests and you've decided that treatment is in order, and we'll talk about prevention a little bit later as well, but or, you know, things that we can do lifestyle and at home.
Sure.
What do you do for them? You know, we're talking about the InterStim implant. Tell us what that is, this neuromodulating implant that can help women and not completely solve the problem, but pretty much give them the freedom they've been looking for.
Absolutely. So InterStim is actually an implant that is placed under the skin in the gluteal region. It has connected to it a very fine wire, for lack of a better word, that is in the sacral or tailbone region. It is a procedure that is an outpatient procedure that does not require general anesthesia. And the way InterStim works is that it stimulates through that little implant, the areas around the nerves, the muscles and the nerves of the sacral region, which happen to be the nerves that treat or modulate or control both the bladder and the bowel. And by giving a signal to this area, it interrupts all the chaotic signals coming from the bladder, I have to go, or the signals that are causing the bladder to spasm and then women flooding on the way to the toilet, as well as giving a little bit of extra tone or strength, if you want to think about it that way, in the pelvic floor so that one does not leak on the way or as they're getting that urge. So it works in two ways, blocking sensory signals and helping a more normal pattern come through, but also probably giving some strength to the area.
So it's kind of acting like a Kegel for us in a little way.
Very small. It's more on the sensory side. So it actually really impacts that that urgent component, the frequency, the signals from the bladder, and it's really blocking all of those signals that are going to your brain, if you will, and saying, I got to go. It actually allows your brain to have more control again, and the bladder's not just running the show. Women can kind of think of it as a pacemaker for their bladder. Pacemakers for the heart sit there, and they, for the most part, do nothing except for when the heart acts up. That's the normal pacemaker. We think of pacemakers as controlling the heart, but that's actually not the average pacemaker. Same thing with this. It sits in the area, and it's this one has a general background signal that's kind of blocking all the abnormal signals from the bladder so that a more normal signaling reflex can get through. It's quite complicated, but quite easy as far as implant goes in surgical approach.
So what's the procedure like, Dr. Wallace?
Well, typically, first when I see someone who has urgency frequency urge loss, and I will tell you that InterStim also works for anal incontinence, which is a newer indication, and actually works very, very well for patients who have stool loss, which is a very uncommon talked about problem, not uncommon. It's not commonly talked about, but a very common problem. Let me state that correctly. Someone will come in, we'll talk about their treatment options, which include behavioral therapies, medication, sometimes an acupuncture type technique, and InterStim and Botox. Those tend to be your treatment options for an urgent bladder, a leaking bladder. Where InterStim comes in is sometimes patients cannot tolerate medication. They have side effects, which are commonly dry mouth and constipation, and or medications are not working. InterStim is something that I would go straight to because it is the most effective out there. If you look at response to leakage, frequency, and urgency, patients get somewhere between a 70 to 85% reduction in their urgency, frequency, and urinary leakage, which is even better than medication. And all the patients need to do is do a test in my office where I put a temporary little stimulator wire under the skin on both sides. They go home with a little pager device, if you will, for about 4 or 5 days. That's done under no anesthesia. They keep a diary, and then we decide if they're a candidate to then move on to have the implant in the outpatient surgery setting.
So it's an outpatient surgery. What activities can they, you know, how long do they have to refrain from activities with this implant? And then is it a permanent thing?
It is. So certainly once you do the test trial in the office, that's a 4 or 5 day trial, then you decide if you're a candidate and you would go to outpatient surgery. It takes an hour to put it in. I use an x-ray to confirm the position. And then the only restriction postoperatively is you have a small incision on your skin. It's about 3 centimeters or 2 inches. The only restrictions are really I don't want you doing heavy bending or swimming for 1 week or so, just while that heals. It's working immediately. There are ways to reprogram it. You start out with 4 different programs, and you can go up to 14 different programs to help improve the person's response to the stimulation. That's something I do in the office. The follow-up is every 3 months just to make sure that, you know, it's doing what it needs to do for you and that the person is doing well. It's about 5-year battery, so it's 5 years. Small incision has to be made in the outpatient setting and just trades out the battery, which is the little implant itself. The wire stays in place forever unless there's a problem with it.
Dr. Wallace, are there things you like people to do at home if they don't have this implant but they still suffer from one of the types of urinary incontinence we've been discussing? What are some home, we don't have a lot of time left, but some
sure.
lifestyle things that you like women to consider?
Well, I always want patients to make sure that, one, they are drinking the appropriate amount of fluids, which is good old-fashioned 64 ounces a day, but spreading those liquids out through the day, so smaller volumes spread out, not drinking 20 ounces here and there and then expecting to hold the bladder for several hours. I also have women start to put themselves on a little bit of a voiding schedule. So if you think you go 12 times a day, that's about every 2 hours. What you should do is put yourself on a 2-hour clock when you first wake up. and you're trying to remind the bladder that the brain is the boss, not the other way around. And so that is something that patients can start to do just to help improve that brain-bladder communication. The other thing is, if someone is having leakage, it's important to use the right kind of pad. So many women use menstrual pads, and really it's important to use an incontinence pad because it keeps you drier and keeps your skin healthier than a menstrual pad. Those are some basic home things that someone can do.
Thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Wallace. For more information, you can go to mission4health.com. That's mission4health.com. And you've been listening to Mission Radio. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.